Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another edition of Centurion Faith, the podcast that helps the believer in Jesus Christ to seek the kind of faith that makes him marvel. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anybody who comes to God must not only believe that he exists, but that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I just thank you for being a diligent seeker of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get so much blessings from listening to so many podcasts and the wonderful content that's out there. I even pray about the content that I get as of late. And boy, the Lord answers that prayer so beautifully. He just helps us and leads us and guides us if we pray and ask for the content that would be good for us. It's basically like just praying for the Lord to put you on a spiritual diet for what your spirit needs. And he certainly will do that. He'll honor any prayers. All we have to do is ask. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. God dropped that on me one day, that acronym that's embedded in that scripture, Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, and knock. He said, anyone who asks receives, and anyone who seeks will find, and anybody who knocks, the door will be open for him. All we have to do is diligently seek God. Is we don't even really need to bring any, you know, we just need to bring a little bit of effort. Just as Reverend Fred always says to me, we just got to give God a little something to work with. You know, the disciples gave Jesus the lunch of a little boy, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, amongst the multitudes of thousands of people, and Jesus fed them all. We just got to bring a little bit of an offering, just a little bit of effort, and we do play a part in this, but when we do bring what little we have to God, he multiplies it with his power, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to encourage you. I have a great message today that I think will really, 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 really encourage you, especially for this hour that we're in. Seeing so many people falling away from the faith, just as was prophesied about in the scriptures, there is a great apostasy of the church, a falling away. I believe it's completely centered on one thing, and that is just getting off of the rock of God's word, falling off the word, and just falling away from our spiritual disciplines, and just letting the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, just choke out the word of God, unfortunately, and keep it, that which keeps us from bearing fruit. And you know, that's the last bit of ground one of the conditions of the ground in the parable of the sower. I would encourage you, I don't want to get off on that today, but just to go reread in Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word. It starts with those words. And look at the different kinds of ground. One of the types of ground is one that's, you know, where the seed of God's word's getting in there well, and it's going down, it's doing its work. I think maybe it's the third one mentioned. And it says, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches come in and choke out the word of God. And it's kind of, I call it the weeds of this world come in, and God's trying to grow fruit in your garden, and the weeds are coming in the garden, the weeds of this world, and trying, that the enemy has planted, and they come in to try to choke out the word of God. So anyway, my whole point is we got to just stay on the word. We have to stay on the rock of God's word, Matthew 7:24. Stay on the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ, and he is the word of God. And one of the best ways to do that, as you know, I'm a huge believer. I think it's a cornerstone of my ministry is teaching people to have a devotional life, to set aside time every day. A spiritual discipline is vital in this hour that we're in, that you get up, give God the first fruits of your day. Give him, start with 20 minutes if you're not doing it now, and just watch. If you just give him the first 20 minutes of your day, I love it. I get up earlier and earlier because I do it not as a work, but as a joy now. And it is a pleasure to get up and spend time in the word and with God in prayer. And when his word and his spirit just overwhelm me in the morning, I feel like I'm as my phone is charging up next to me, I'm being charged up spiritually by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And then I can go out into the world with my battery fully charged in His Word and in His Spirit. And, you know, throughout the day, the power kind of wanes and gets depleted. And by the end of the day, I get a good night's rest and recharge overnight physically. And then in the morning, I just plug in again and spiritually recharge just to get through that day. You know, give us this day our daily bread, okay? Give us this day. God has set this thing up where we can only take one day at a time. That's all we have. We have to live life in the moment, to stay present, to live day to day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't go back in the past and think about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I'm going to jump into my message, and I think you're going to love it today. I'm going to try to be brief, and I just pray for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering grace through your Spirit and faith and your love to everyone who's listening to this podcast. Speak through me, Lord Jesus, that we may all be edified. It's in your holy name I pray. This one is called, this message today is called Jesus is Always at Work in You. Jesus is always at work in you. Jesus says in Luke 22:27, Jesus says, I stand among you as one who serves. And it's just amazing to think about that Jesus is always at work. You know, Philippians 1:6 says, he that began a good work in you will complete it, right? Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me living, it's Christ living in me. In this life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could come by the law or by my good works, then Christ died for nothing. He died in vain, it says. So God's not only given us, when he saves us, he's not only given us complete forgiveness of sins, but he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit comes into your life, as Jesus has promised, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He says in John 14, I think it's 26, Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will live and abide in you forever. And that's in John 14. I'm looking it up here while I'm talking, but 14:16, I'll pray to the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide in you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, neither does it know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. Keep in mind, he was telling the disciples, right now, the Holy Spirit's with you. Like when he sent them out to do his work, the Holy Spirit was with them, but the Holy Spirit could not be in them like he's talking about here. He says he has been with you, but he shall be in you. He's talking about after the cross, after he's risen and the Holy Spirit sent. Now the Holy Spirit can indwell and these guys could be born again. Those same cowards, the disciples, yes, that's right, they were cowards when they weren't born again. They couldn't be born again because Jesus had not finished his work. But they were cowardly. They forsook him and fled. Peter denied him 3 times. But after the cross, Peter was crucified upside down. James was sawed in half. Other disciples were beheaded. Paul was beheaded. So, you know, there's a difference between somebody who is born again by the Spirit and somebody who just has the Holy Spirit on them. And so you have to believe that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:13 says, the moment you put your faith in Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you have to believe that when that happened, that the Lord, he put what I call, the Lord dropped this on me this morning, he put a rebirth, think about it, you were born physically by water, the Bible calls it, you know, when you were a baby, you were born through your mom, in a natural birth, a birth that came by water. But when you're reborn or born again, which a man must be, Jesus says you must be born again, you had a rebirth day. My rebirth day was February 2nd, 2002. And when I was born again, I got a rebirth day candle. And you know the candle that the Bible says that in Proverbs, it's 20:27. It says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all his inward parts, right? And God gave you, when you got born again, he gave you a rebirthday candle. And you know what kind of candle he gave you? He gave you one of those candles that can't be blown out. You ever see one of those? You blow on it and you think that it's out. It's not. And you know, the Lord says, Jesus says that he will not put out that smoldering wick, that he keeps the flame afresh and anew, and it's always burning. Another thing the Lord dropped on me was, it's like a pilot light. Now I'm showing my age here when I talk about a pilot light and a gas stove, but way back when, you know, the gas stoves have that pilot light in them, and the pilot light is burning down in the stove. You can see this little blue light burning, and then, you know, when you turn the gas on, the stove is ignited. But these are, this pilot light can't be snuffed out. It's God's, and it's this candle, like the birthday candle, that can't be blown out. See, we think, because we're feeling tired and we're not quote-unquote feeling it, that God's left us. And we take Old Testament scriptures and where David's pleading, Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, for a born-again believer to pray that, you're praying against God's word in the New Testament, and you're praying against the New Covenant, where Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus would be lying to leave you. You know, and if he only stuck around with you and hung out with you when you're doing well, then he'd never hang out with you, because you know, we're talking about your flesh. When you're performing well, he wouldn't hang out with you at all. So we have to believe that God is always working in us to will and to do his good pleasure, because it says that in the scriptures, Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for your salvation. See, we work for it because the devil tricks us and he gets us on the religious peloton, the religious treadmill, gets us working for our salvation. But that's not what the scripture says. It says, work out your own salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. It is God who is working in you to will, to do his will, and to do his good pleasure, to do what pleases him. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's working in you when you don't quote-unquote feel it. So get out of your flesh and get in the Spirit. Jesus is always working in you. I would say this. I think God, I believe this with all my heart, that God is actually working in you more than you think. Because it says in Ephesians 3:20 that he'll do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power of faith that works in us. And that faith comes by his Spirit. He has a spirit of faith that he's given us. Did you know when you got born again, you were so reprobate, you didn't even have the faith to believe. You brought nothing to the table but a broken life. It is by grace that you're saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace you're saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. It's not by works, so no man can boast. You know the grace and the faith you needed to believe were given to you when the Holy Spirit came at your salvation. You were so reprobate, you didn't even have the faith to believe. God had to give it to you through his Spirit. You see what I'm saying? You brought nothing but a broken life to him. And you should be bringing nothing but a broken life to him today and letting that Spirit work in you. You're crucified with Christ. It's no longer you living. It's Christ living in you. It's no longer you speaking. 1 Peter 4:1:1. When you speak, you should speak as an oracle of God. And when you minister, you should do it with the power that he provides through the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Peter 4:1:1. Matthew 10:40, Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. He's talking about the Father. So somebody welcomes you and treats you well. He looks at it and he says, they're treating me well. They're treating the Father well. And they're certainly treating the Holy Ghost well, because it's the Holy Ghost who lives in you, who's revealing Christ in you. So, you know, when you go out today, you have the Holy Spirit, whether you're aware of it or whether you're thinking about, wow, I've got the Spirit living in me. God's always working in you, even when you're asleep spiritually and you're not even aware. And when you're having a bad day, you think, well, the Holy Spirit left me, because you want to leave you. And your wife probably wants to leave you, or your husband, because you're no fun to be around, because you're just a sad Sally. You forgot you were born again. You forgot you're going to heaven. You forgot you're supposed to be bringing heaven down to earth. You forgot that you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control living in you. You forgot who you were in Christ, and now you're a sad Sally. Cheer up. Cheer up. You live eternally. You're not going to hell like a lot of people, most people. Cheer up. You will not live in eternal torment. If that doesn't cheer you up, that's good news. Work out from there and start walking and start bringing some other people to heaven with you. You know, your life is your witness. We just don't believe the word of God. We think, well, God leaves you. Yeah, when you're having a bad day, the spirit flies away and he doesn't want to hang out with you anymore. Well, if you believe that, you're going contrary to everything God says. He says in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, keep your lives free from covetousness. Keep your lives free from the love of money, for I have written, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Get your mind off your money and your bills and all the things of this world, and remember that the Holy Spirit lives in you and he's with you. He's doing so much more. He's doing more than you ever thought. He's working in you even when you're asleep. He's working in you when you're having the worst day ever. He's doing something in you. When you're having a really bad day and everybody around you knows it, miserable day, the worst day you ever had, and somehow, some way you say, but I praise the Lord Jesus, because the Bible says that weeping may last for the night, but joy always comes in the morning. I know the Lord is with me and he loves me even in this cancer that I just got diagnosed with. I know the Lord loves me even though I just lost my job, lost my dad, lost my whatever is coming on you, the cares of this life and all the troubles that Jesus said would be coming. And you eke out those words, but I love the Lord Jesus because he's told me he'll never leave me. Guess what? When those people hear that and they see you suffering and they hear praise come out of your mouth, they're going to go, wow, God is real. This guy really believes that. This guy's praising the Lord in his storm. There's a storm going on in this world, and this guy's asleep in the boat like Jesus. He's got a peace that I want. God's always working in you, even on your worst day. Get over yourself. Quit looking at your flesh and get into the spirit. Everything I'm telling you is spiritual. The spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord. No one can blow out. It's that birthday candle that can't be blown out. It can't be snuffed out. He will not snuff out that smoldering wick. I think that's in Matthew 12:20. Let me look at that real quick and then I'm going to close. Remember this birthday candle, this rebirthday candle that God's lit in you. The rebirthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's your rebirth day. God, the new birth, man. Praise God for the new birth. I don't know if I got that script. Here it is. Yeah, it says in Matthew 12:20, a bruised reed shall he not break, meaning a reed that's bent and broken. That's like us, right? And a smoking flax, right? Like in a candle. He will not quench. He will not snuff it out till he sends forth judgment unto victory. Jesus already took your judgment and he gave you his righteousness, and he's put a light in you that he just said he will not, it can't be snuffed out. No devil in hell can blow out your birthday candle. No devil in hell, no power in this world can snuff out your pilot light. Once you start praising God, even in your storm, in the midst of the worst circumstances, that light is ignited. It's really bursts on fire. And you know, let the Lord set you on fire today. I'll close with these words. Let the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope everyone listening to this, I hope the Lord sets them on fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit today. And when he sets you on fire, I hope that people come around and watch you burn. I hope you have a blessed day. And I hope that this message has blessed you. Share it with someone else if you can. I love you, brothers and sisters.